Workplace health experts are warning the deadly lung disease, silicosis, is significantly more widespread than the engineered stone benchtop industry has acknowledged previously. 260 benchtop workers have been diagnosed with the disease, which has claimed the lives of two men. But there's concern silicosis is being overlooked in other construction industries because of a lack of mandatory data collection. Annie Guest has this report.
The task force, with the job of developing a national approach for preventing dust diseases, held its second meeting in recent days. Its chairman, Professor Brendan Murphy, says they discussed workplace inspections, industry-run accreditation, tracking imports, research, and the merits of health registers.
We made very good progress. So it was a very productive meeting, and we also talked about making sure that every state and territory in Australia has the same rigorous level of workplace safety and screening of affected workers.
They're targeting workers from the 6,000-strong engineered stone benchtop industry who've been exposed to dust containing crystalline silica, which is found in sand, stone, concrete and mortar. Among those diagnosed with the lung disease silicosis are 34-year-old Gold Coast stonemason Shane Parata, who has had to stop work, and his 36-year-old brother, Anthony White, who died in March. Their mother, Di White, spoke to RN Breakfast last month.
It was devastating. Devastating. I had not heard of it, even though my boys worked in the industry. My first thing was to look in my nursing books, and as I read through, I was horrified to see a prognosis of 2.5 to 5 years. To be told that there is no cure apart from a lung transplant.
How do you begin to come to terms with losing one son to silicosis and the other son being diagnosed with the same disease?
You don't. You don't come to terms with it. How do I stay optimistic, hopeful, supportive of my son in his diagnosis now, knowing the outcome from his brother?
There's concern silicosis is more widespread than the stonemasons industry. Workplace health and safety expert Kate Cole did a Churchill Fellowship on diseases afflicting tunnel workers, and she believes there's a high prevalence of silicosis in the building, demolition, quarrying and tunnelling industries.
Working in the construction sector for the past 2 decades or so, I know many men who have told me many stories of their personal struggle and their personal heartache of what it's like to live with silicosis, supporting a young family, supporting themselves, trying to make a living. This is a thing that is real. It is not made up.
She says focusing on health checks and policing of practices in the stonemasons industry is too narrow. He is the federal government's chief health advisor and dust task force chief, Professor Brendan Murphy, again.
A disease register that we are considering would very likely cover all silica-related disease. What we haven't yet worked out is how feasible it is to screen those other workplaces where the actual risk of silica dust disease is much lower than the engineered stone industry. The engineered stone industry is the place where we've seen this explosion of accelerated silicosis.
You know, I've been told that people are embarrassed and ashamed to come forward, but that it is prevalent in the building industry.
Well, we don't have evidence that it's widespread. We have certainly got evidence that there have been isolated cases outside of the direct engineered stone cutting industry, but certainly we want to get more information about that.
But there's little mandatory data collection. And Kate Cole points out the New South Wales safety regulator identifies the silicosis-causing crystalline silica as a key health harm in the infrastructure, mid to high-rise building, housing and demolition industries.
As an occupational hygienist, we look at controlling exposure to silica dust, but we also do a lot of measurements. And I would say that it's relatively common to measure silica dust over our current legal limits generally across those industries. So the prevalence would be high.
So when people like you find those high silica dust levels, what happens to the data?
Well, the results of silica dust in air data aren't required to be submitted to any health and safety authority, even if it breaches our current legal limits. So that data goes back to the companies, to the corporations, and they're required to put additional control measures in place to reduce that exposure.
So how confident are you that when the companies get those high readings of silica dust in their workplaces, that they do act to bring down the levels?
I think it depends on the organisation.
In your Churchill Fellowship report, you noted that it is possible for some to believe that collecting very few measurements on select good days is sufficient. So is that sort of willful cheating?
I wouldn't necessarily say it's willful cheating all the way through our industry, but I will say that there has been situations where that has been observed in some areas of our industry.
Kate Cole says there have been some improvements in parts of the tunnelling industry, but she wants health checks and laws improving silica dust controls across affected industries. Meanwhile, figures provided by each state and territory to the ABC's 7:30 program show there are now 260 stonemasons diagnosed with silicosis. Most are in Queensland, and the Northern Territory is the only jurisdiction without a case. States and territories have variously responded to the crisis with screening programs, workplace investigations, and regulatory reviews. A parliamentary inquiry began yesterday in New South Wales, examining that state's response, which has been described by occupational health physician Dr. Graham Edwards as lagging behind other states.
Annie Guest with that report.